From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, part of Speak Up Talk Radio's many services, home to the International Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and our newest book song, where we create a musical masterpiece to highlight your book. I am Pat Rulo, and today I have a returning and one of my favorite authors to share with you, and a recent Firebird Book Award winner, as usual, Patricia Levy. And the most recent book is titled Shooting Stars Above. Patricia is an award-winning best-selling author, formerly Associate Professor of Sociology and Founding Director of Gender Studies at Stonehill College. She has published more than 40 books. We're going to get an exact count in a little bit. And she has received career awards from the National Art Education Association, the American Creativity Association, the American Educational Research Association, and so many more. In 2018, she was honored by the National Women's Hall of Fame in SUNY New Paltz when they established the Patricia Levy Award for Art and Social Justice. And in 2024, the London Arts-Based Research Center established the Patricia Levy Award for Arts-Based Research. I think we talked briefly about that in our previous interview. And what I have to say here is that spending time with a fellow Patricia, and this special one in particular, always makes my day. Welcome back, Patricia Levy.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat. I always love chatting with you.
I know. These are like little shining diamonds that kind of land every now and then throughout the years, and we get the special time to talk together. I always come away inspired and just love you more.
I feel exactly the same way. It's like a little jewel box, especially as an author when you do, you know, various interviews, and sometimes you have some nice chats, but you don't really get to know people and you're saying the same thing over and over again. And I just feel like our conversations always feel like these little treasures. I leave feeling, you know, all filled up.
Oh, do I love that? Yes, I do. That's exactly what I would say to you. So feeling is absolutely mutual. I'm happy we found each other.
Thank you. Me too.
Yes. Well, congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award once again, my friend.
Thank you so much. I have to say that winning an award has never meant more to me than it did for this book, because this book is just so special for me. And honestly, just having the chance to publish it felt like the win and the victory. So anything that's come after that, I feel so grateful for it.
Oh, I want to dig into that comment that this is especially important to you. But before we do, it's still tied to your book. I want you just to fill us in, if you can, on your encounter with People magazine, the 10 romance books to read after Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry. I get goosebumps. Tell us.
Oh, my goodness, Pat, I have to tell you, like, I'm still on cloud nine. I had absolutely no idea that was going to happen, no expectation that it would happen. To say that there are literally millions of authors who would want to be on that list of 10 books is absolutely factual. And I was shocked and blown away to see myself on that list. So I was actually having a little vacation. It was a long weekend for Easter weekend, and my husband and I were in New York, my favorite place, staying in Soho, a place I used to go to as a child where I fell in love with art and the arts. And we were sitting and having brunch in one of my favorite places to get a gluten-free bagel. And I hadn't checked my phone in over an hour, you know, because we were eating and having conversations. So when we wrapped up our meal, I looked at my phone and my email was blowing up. And I was like, what is happening? And then I saw an email from my publicist, and it had an exclamation point in the subject line. So I knew it was either really good or really bad. And honestly, I was like bracing myself. I was like, oh God, what terrible thing happened? Which just shows you our mind can go to the negative sometimes. Mm-hmm. But that's when I read the email and found out that Shooting Stars Above was selected by People for this incredible list of 10 books to read after Emily Henry's new book. If you look at the list, most of the other books are by the, you know, biggest romance novelists in the world. And their household names. So it was just an amazing, amazing thing that my book ended up on that list. And I do have to say, I need to give credit to my publisher and most of all my publicity team, who I've worked with for many, many years, because they made that happen. So my publisher, She Writes Press, Shooting Stars Above is my fourth novel with them, and they have been incredibly, incredibly supportive. And Book Sparks, led by Crystal Patriarch, is my publicist. And they also have worked on four books so far for me, Shooting Stars Above being the fourth. And I know without their efforts over the course of many books and many, many things that didn't come to be, this would not have happened. So I definitely felt like it was a victory for all of us. But I have to tell you, Pat, the best part was being in my favorite place in the world, receiving this incredible news. I mean, I remember growing up, and my mother is not a reader. She has never been a reader, but she had a subscription to People magazine. That was her literature. That was like, to this day, I think it's the only thing she reads. She doesn't read newspaper. She doesn't read books, but she reads People magazine. So I remember even, you know, being young and flipping through it, and you'd see the recommended books, and it just felt like those authors were the luckiest authors in the world. So to be sitting in my favorite place with my favorite person and have absolutely no idea this was going to happen and find out, it was incredible. And after we had lunch, my husband was actually working that day. So my plan was to scoot off to my favorite cafe to sit and write, which is always what I do in my free time. And so that's what I did. I went and I sat in my favorite cafe in Soho, writing, working on, you know, one of the next novels, just on cloud nine that this incredible, incredible thing had happened for Shooting Stars Above.
Wow. I'm almost speechless here. It's just, and too much emotion, and it all came together. It's almost like a circle, your favorite place in New York where you
first started. Goodness, Pat, I had to hold back tears. I mean, I'm in this like bagel place. People are, you know, eating their lunch. And I almost burst into tears, and I literally like had to tell myself, like, don't start crying here. Like, you know, because I mean, it was just so joyful. And really, you know, I mean, any author will tell you there are a lot of things you try for and they don't work out. And so you have many, many disappointments and heartbreaks that most people don't know about. In this case, I didn't even know about this. I mean, I did not know my book was a contender for this list. I just had absolutely no idea. And so it was even more joyful than, you know, when something you plan works out. I mean, that is always wonderful, but just to have this surprise and for it to be something, you know, that felt so big, and it was just incredibly exciting.
Well, congratulations to you. So well deserved.
Thank you.
You mentioned your team, and you need that. Again, I don't think any author can possibly do all of this on their own. You do need a dedicated and wise team to help.
You absolutely do. I mean, I have an assistant who's worked with me, gosh, probably like around 14 years, 15 years almost. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the unsung heroes, because at the end of the day, the author's name is on a book, but it represents the labor of many, many people. There are many, many people who work on a book. And if the book finds any kind of recognition or success, that is also the result of many, many people. And, you know, they feel that victory too, when there's something good that happens, especially when it's something that nobody was counting on and that mm-hmm. was unexpected. So I always remember that, you know, I'm a part of a team. And I'll tell you, it's important too, when things don't go well. You know, I mean, I've had times where I've had, you know, a crushing review in a trade magazine or things that really felt devastating at the time. And, you know, my publisher is the first one to say, we support your book 110%. You know, my publicist is the first one to tell me to shake it off and that it doesn't matter, we're moving forward. And so, you know, those people are not just there for the wins, they're there for the whole journey. And, you know, their labor is often invisible to everybody else. So I'm very glad for a chance to highlight that this is not something I did alone, and I don't think any author does.
Good. Thank you for saying that. We need to spread that credit around. Absolutely. All right. You mentioned at the top that this felt the most important to you. Why is that?
Okay. So it's a little bit of a story, but I think you'll appreciate it, Pat. When I was 10 years old, I actually tried to write a novel. Of course I did. My fifth grade English teacher, Miss Mercer, who I remember very, very fondly, actually exempted me from some projects in class so that I could try and work on my novel at the tender age of 10. And I didn't finish it. I mean, you know, I was 10 years old, so it didn't pan out, but I actually got pretty far into it. And what I remember is that it was a love story between two wounded souls. And, you know, that didn't pan out. Life moved on. I became an author, first in nonfiction, then in fiction, then eventually in romance. And I had long forgotten about this novel I tried to write when I was 10. And several years ago, I was working on a different book and I was having a lot of trouble with it. And so I went outside on my balcony, looked up at the stars just to sort of breathe the fresh air. And like a bolt, this book, which became eventually Shooting Stars Above, this book came to me in a bolt of inspiration. The entire story, like a movie that plays out in your mind in 1 minute. I've never had a book come to me that way. I usually have to work for it and outline it. It takes a long time. This came to me in a bolt. I went back to my computer, put aside what I was supposed to be doing, and started writing. And I basically did not stop writing for 10 days. I barely slept. I kicked my husband out of the house. I didn't talk to anybody. And in 10 days, I wrote the first draft of this novel. And it was my favorite thing I had ever done. I knew that to me, it was the best thing I had ever done. And I believe, looking back on it, that it was the novel I first tried to write when I was 10 years old, and that the seed lived in me my entire life. And it came back to me at a time when I had the skills and the ability to actualize it. So to me, this book, you know, in a career, you asked how many books. This book is actually book 51. And I only learned that recently because people said, you know, it's not good. You don't know how many books you've published. So I sat down and counted, Pat, and this is book 51. But I have to say, this one will always just be special to me in a different way. And it became so special to me that I kept writing about the characters. And fast forward, it became a series. There are 6 books written so far, and we plan to release one every year. So the next one will come out next March. But they are done. They are all done and ready to go. Each takes place a year after the next. Really, it's a story. It's a love story. It's a romance. But it's also about friendship and chosen family, dealing with trauma, overcoming self-doubt, really sort of building the life that we want to build. And the real inspiration behind it is there's that saying that says, hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And I totally understand that, but sometimes it isn't true. Sometimes people in pain are able to love others in extraordinary ways. And that's really the basis of this book, that you have two people who are really good, kind, aspirational people who have suffered from violence and other forms of grief and trauma. They've given to others generously, but they haven't found happiness for themselves. And they meet each other on page one of the book. And that's the beginning of the story, and the beginning not just of their love story, but of them each healing and transforming and growing. So that's why the book is so special to me.
A little bit ago, we talked about when you got the news about Shooting Stars Above being in People magazine, that it kind of circled back to your youth, your favorite place, where you first fell in love with art. Kind of the same thing here with the story, too, where it takes you again back to what you were creating when you were 10 years old. That's kind of interesting how it all seems goes back to youth.
The whole thing, like there's this, I don't know, kismet factor. I don't know what it is. It's something that's beyond me. Mm-hmm. But when I wrote this book, you know, that 10 days, which is the shortest time it ever took me to draft anything, that 10 days, it was a really cathartic experience because I had a very difficult childhood in many different ways. I was abused as a child. I was bullied at school. I had a lot of trauma in my childhood. And I was very, very shy. And writing was my only real way of expressing myself. But I didn't have the tools as a writer, obviously, that you develop later in life. And so it was such a healing experience writing the book. And so then for it to come out in the world and for it to get any attention on top of that, and then for me to be in my favorite place when I found out this incredible thing, the whole thing, I mean, it's, I mean, if I were to write a novel, Pat, like that is how I would write it, if I could even think of it. So it really, it's been this very amazing healing journey. And it's really incredible too, because the book is a healing journey for the characters. Readers have sent me incredible, incredible notes about how it's touched them and how it's been a part of their healing journey. And the entire process from writing it to putting it out in the world to getting this wonderful, surprising recognition, that's all been a part of my healing journey. So I really feel like this book is sort of like bathed in love and bathed in light in a way that feels very special to me. And, you know, I mean, I love every book I write. I wouldn't write them and I wouldn't publish them if I didn't. But they're not all the same and they don't all mean the same thing to me. And this one, for me, it's just grounded in this like deep, deep love and this deep like searching for light even through the darkness, and how it's come out into the world and the things that have come back to me from it feel very much in sync. So it all feels bigger than me, like some sort of gift from the universe. And I'm just lucky to be a part of it.
Yeah. I get that. I do. I'm so happy this is happening for you and just
thank you. You
know, bathe in the light of it and enjoy it. You know, I was thinking about romance. People think it's a light and escapist kind of a genre, but you've been able to uniquely position the romance genre as a place and a space to explore emotional recovery.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. That is really my purpose. I mean, absolutely. You know, I mean, when I heard romance, you know, when I was young, I mean, I've read romance novels. I obviously still do. But when I was growing up, romance novels were much more, you know, like very rich people on a tropical island somewhere, like falling in love and taking their private jet somewhere. And, you know, they weren't, the content wasn't serious. And that's not to say the writers aren't serious or the writing wasn't good, but just what they tended to be about. And I think that there are some authors out there, hopefully myself included, who are trying to change and have changed what romance is or can be. And certainly in my books, I really try and create this balance between like the light, airy bits, and the deeper topics and substance. And, you know, there's some dark things in Shooting Stars Above. You know, it's not all a fairy tale. There's PTSD, there's grief, there's death, there's sexual assault. You know, there are all these things, even when they're not expressly on the page, they're in the background as a part of these characters' stories. And I really try to address all of those real issues in all of my novels in different ways, but, you know, in ways that are ultimately hopeful. So the endings are happy endings, but they're not the kind of happy endings like happily ever after, like that's the end. They're the kind of happy endings to me that feel more authentic because the characters get to a better place, but they're not done on their journey. And you know that. You know, they're still working. Like they're still, you know, healing from anything is not, it's not a finite thing that happens. It doesn't happen in a discrete amount of time. Healing is a lifelong process. Grieving is a lifelong process. Dealing with depression, whatever it might be that someone's dealing with, these are not things that you just deal with once and they go away. They're things that you deal with over the course of your life. And hopefully these things get easier to carry and deal with. And that's part of what my books show. But I try to use the romance genre, which is a genre centered around love and affection and hope. I mean, I think to fall in love is a very, very hopeful act. So I try to take this genre that's centered around these hopeful, loving themes, and I use it to explore some, you know, more difficult themes that are very much a part of the human experience. And hopefully in the end, I mean, I always feel at the end of the books, taken to a better place, you know, that there is always light through the darkness. And so hopefully that's how readers experience the books too.
Oh, I think they do, just from all the feedback that you get. You were accomplishing what you're setting out to do here and doing it so well. I think it's inspiration for other up and coming folks who are writing in the romance genre.
Thank you. Thank you. You're so kind. I mean, I recently wrote an article about writing about sensitive topics in romance. And I wrote it for other authors, you know, for those who might find it helpful. And some of the things I try to do, you know, how do you have, if you're writing a romance novel, like in Shooting Stars Above is a perfect example, you know, if someone in one scene is like dealing with PTSD from past assault, at what point in the narrative is it okay to bring romance back in with their partner? You know, these things have to be dealt with sensitively, and you have to consider the characters and their experience, and you have to consider the reader experience. So I've always kind of compared it to baking a souffle, which I'll just say for the record, I'm not a baker. I am a very good cook, but I can't bake to save my life. So but my daughter's a great baker, but I'm terrible at it. But I certainly love to eat a good souffle. So I have sampled many. And the thing about a souffle is if it's really good, it's very light and airy on the top. But then the further you get your spoon into it, the more decadent and the richer it becomes. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of how I think about the kind of romance novels I try to write, that you're trying to balance these light, airy bits. So there will be funny scenes and there will be frothy, sexy scenes. But you're trying to balance that with substance and the things that people really deal with in life. And so that's always what I'm aiming to do when I write my books.
All right. You have now officially become the souffle writer.
I'll take it. Happily take it.
Oh my gosh. A little bit of a different angle here. You shared a post on Instagram a few days ago that just hit me. I actually wrote it down and I thought I need to ask you why you posted this. You say that every successful person you admire survived a season you didn't see. And yes. That's powerful. I want to know your thoughts behind that.
I mean, first of all, I think it's absolutely truth. And one of the things about social media is that it can become a highlight reel. So, you know, people don't necessarily post, you know, pictures of when they were at the dentist getting, you know, a cavity filled or, you know, mm-hmm. or the bad things that happened in their day, their week, or their life. That's not how people primarily use social media, myself included, as an author. I mean, I usually post about good things that have happened in my career, things I want to share with readers. But the reality is that that does not represent the entirety of my life experience, nor anybody else's. It's a snapshot. It's a highlight reel. And so, for example, in my own career, you know, what people see are some of the lovely things that you mentioned in your intro. You know, people see the career awards. They see the book awards. They see the People magazine story, which is very humbling. And that's all wonderful. But there has been a lot of heartbreak and rejection and commercial and critical failure that led up to those things. You know, I didn't start with those things, and most people don't. So I'll give you an example. My first bestseller, which is a nonfiction book called Method Meets Art, came out in 2008. I started writing it around 2005, so like 20 years ago. Came out in 2008. Took a year, but eventually became a bestseller. And it's actually been a bestseller at this point for like 16 years. It's in its third edition. It's going to its fourth edition. It's been translated all over the world. My bestseller. So when that book like hit it big, everybody was talking about, oh, she got so lucky, like lucky. Well, Pat, that was my seventh book. People don't see the things that weren't successful. People, and beyond those six prior books that did not reach that level of commercial or critical success, there were also the things that got rejected and never got published. And even Method Meets Art, the book that became a bestseller, it took me a year and a half to get that book contract. So I had nothing but stacks of rejections for a long time in my career. Scathing critiques, all of those things. And that continues now. So, I mean, that is like a full season before I had what people would consider success, where I did not have tangible success in my career. And the only difference between why I got to where I am and some people don't is that I kept going. I didn't let it stop me. It doesn't mean it wasn't upsetting or depressing or didn't hurt my feelings. But I kept going anyway. I just pushed through that. And so when something like the People article comes out, you know, there are people who are like, oh, you know, she has so much. That kind of attitude can come out. And I just like to put that reminder out in the world, and not just about me, but about everyone, is that there's no one that has any kind of success who has not also had challenges and rejections and hardship. And that's just in our professional lives. I mean, we all have that in our personal lives too. And I just think it's important for people to remember that, you know, so when they're going through a difficult, challenging season, they know that that is just part of the journey. And even the people they might admire the most, they have gone through that too. And when you see somebody who's in their winning season, when they're doing well, you should cheer for them and root for them with everything you have, because you have no idea what they had to survive to get there. And the fact that they can have a winning season means that you can have a winning season too, because I really believe that the good things are not limited. They are limitless, and they're available to all of us. And, you know, cheering each other on is a part of how more of us can experience those good things.
Yes. I'm glad I asked you that question. This is so important, because I think people do have a tendency to see someone succeed and thought, wow, you know, how did that happen, or why it's not happening to me? We live on a river, and I always get this mental picture where you see the geese just gliding along the river, but you don't know that they're paddling like mad underneath the water. Keep going, so that that can happen to you. And then applaud those who do receive success, because your turn will come and you'll want to receive that as well. So there's so much to learn in that. Thank you. Thank you for caring to share that.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. I mean, I really think it's good for all of us too, who are on social media posting positive things, to give people reminders that, you know, all of our lives are more complex than whatever is on social media.
Absolutely. Yes, for sure. Gives us hope. Thank you. All right. Well, as we begin to wrap up, is there anything that you wanted to highlight today that we have not touched upon?
I just want to thank you for a wonderful conversation. I always love talking with you so much. And of course, anyone who's interested in Shooting Stars Above, it is available everywhere books are sold. We do have an ebook sale going on right now. The ebook is 99 cents, but only until June 1st. The price will revert on June 1st. So if people are looking for a spring or summer read and they want a deal, the 99 cent ebook is available everywhere that ebooks are sold until June 1st.
Okay. Any website?
People can go to my website, patricialevy.com. That's L-E-A-V-Y. And there are links to all my social media and all my books. So that's really the best sort of one stop to find anything you might be interested in.
All right. Thank you for sharing the background. I knew there was something, and now it's almost beyond words. Shooting Stars Above. And it's not just a romance, it's a testament to the human spirit. So I want you to know how grateful I am, and I know our audience is, for the stories you tell and the light you bring to important conversations. And we can't wait to see where the Celestial Bodies romance takes you and us in the next few years. Thank you again for spending time with me.
Thank you so much, Pat. You're wonderful. It was a great talk.